There'll be food and drink and ghosts, and perhaps even a few murders. You're all invited.
Welcome to A Slumber Party Monsters. I'm your host, Faith, as always, and this is part two of female or women filmmakers in the horror industry. And we have a woman in horror for this episode.
Hello.
Hello, it's been a while.
I know, it really has. Good to be back.
So yes, as part of this month's special, we set up a Just Giving page for the charity called Wellbeing of Women. It's unfortunately the only UK charity based for people that happen to have gynecological needs, and it's a shame that it's the only charity. It's
the only charity in the UK.
Yep, it's literally the only one, and it's been going on for 60 years.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah, I only heard of it recently. So I was a bit like, oh, okay then. I need to promote this.
Yeah. Oh my God. Definitely.
As I asked Clara from the part one episode, I would like to ask you as well, because the charity helps with this as well. How long do you think it takes for someone to be diagnosed with endometriosis?
Oh my gosh. This is going to be really depressing, isn't it? I mean, I'd like to say within 3 to 6 months, but I feel like months is going to be more like years, isn't it? It's going to be horrendous.
Yeah.
Let's go somewhere in the middle. Let's go like a year.
Oh, no.
I feel like
with the answer, I might need to swaddle you in a blanket and give you a cup of tea.
Oh, my God. Oh, go on, hit me.
Average time for someone to be diagnosed from the onset symptoms is 7.5 years.
Oh my gosh, that's horrendous.
Yep.
7.5 years.
Yes, and it's, yeah. I was mortified when I found that out, because I was like, you what, mate?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think it's relatively well known that women's medical health is so under-researched in the grand scheme of things, but that's just wow.
Yeah, it's taking the piss, isn't it?
Good way to put it.
Yeah.
Well, as you can see, I'm a little bit speechless at that. I was kind of thinking, well, maybe it'll be 3 to 5 years, but no.
I mean, you're close to Clara. Clara thought it would be 2 years, and I was like, oh, no.
Okay. Oh, no. I mean, just the amount of pain for that amount of time.
Mm.
So we definitely need more charities.
Yes, so that's why.
Raise the awareness. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I thought, you know what? I want to promote this charity. I've already put in a donation in for £100 to put towards it to help them out, to give them a head start.
That's fantastic, yeah.
So yeah, if anyone listening to this wants to donate or share, just go for it.
Definitely be having a look, yeah.
Yeah, even just awareness of it would be quite good.
Mm. Definitely.
The charity helps people that have... like people that are trans men, women, intersex people, and people that are, of course, like non-binary as well. I did actually contact them and kind of go, you are okay with these things, aren't you? And they were like, yeah. That we don't discriminate with things. It's kind of like people that have it, we understand. It's kind of like, okay then. So I thought, right, we'll go.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I'll get checking them out and, yeah, seeing how I can get involved.
Yes. Because they do, what was it, research, education, information and resources as well. So they do need help with funding for research and making and sort of like tests and things like that. And it was just like, you know what, this sounds absolutely fantastic. They have a lot of articles and things. Unfortunately, there was one article and it just, I saw it and I was like, the fact that this is even needed on here is such a shame. And it says, it's something along the lines of like, if you feel that you have been essentially like fobbed off by doctors, here's something that might help. And it's like, really?
Oh my gosh. Well, I must say, I know it's completely unrelated, but like talking about just being fobbed off a bit and yeah, kind of being dismissed a bit. One of my friends at, that I was in training with had horrendous stomach cramps and wasn't going, went to the doctors. Oh, well, it's, you know, similar time to period, so it'll be period cramps and that. Like, and she had to sit out of classes. It was horrendous. And then she was just in, like, she was in cold sweats. It was horrendous. And it was her appendix bursting. She wasn't listened to at all when she first went about, obviously what would have been, I suppose, like a grumbling appendix at that point. And it got to the point where it was actually bursting and they had to get the ambulance out and, yeah, emergency surgery and all that jazz. I know it's nothing to do with gynecology, but just, you know, talking about, I am aware of the statistics on, you know, women being less likely to be taken seriously in health matters generally. Not good.
Shocking.
Honestly. Yeah, we need a bit more representation out there. So this charity sounds amazing.
So yeah, I'm literally trying to like promote it and just send it out. And if you can share it, fantastic.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's a tough subject matter, but it's kind of like it needs to be talked about.
Well, exactly. Can't shy away.
But yes, on a slightly lighter note, would like to say, so what do you do? Who are you? What work do you do? And what work do you plan on doing soon?
Okay, so I'm Eva Oliver, and I do various bits and pieces in independent horror. I've been acting in independent horror for, oh my gosh, nearly 10 years. That's terrifying. And it's been so much fun. I have been incredibly lucky to work with some of the lovely people I have. And then when lockdown happened, obviously we wanted to carry on doing bits and creating and kind of keeping the creative juices flowing. So Anna Dixon, who is MJ Dixon's wife, who MJ being the filmmaker for Myco Entertainment, and he owns that company. Like I say, his wife Anna and I, obviously over the years, have become very good friends because she's a producer on his films and I've acted on them over the years. And we were like, right, let's do a podcast. Let's, you know, we're both kind of into true crime. We both like a bit of horror. Let's, you know, see what we can do. So we kind of set up this idea that we would kind of both research different historical true crimes. We wanted to kind of try and go at things like sort of 100 years ago plus, because obviously it can get a little bit anything too recent where you've still got either, obviously very recent, if you've got court cases still going on, things like that, you don't want to muddy the waters. So we were like, right, let's go historical. And yeah, so we kind of started doing that as just a podcast, and we'd tell each other a true crime that had happened, and then at the end we'd always have this discussion on, right, if we were going to make this into a film, how would we do it? You know, what would we change, what would we keep, what would we dramatize further? We had so much fun with it that we were on the phone, I don't know, part of three doing in between sort of podcasts, and she just said, why don't we just do it. So, yeah, Real Horror was born, and that is, it's our very small film company, and it is literally that we will take a historical true crime, very loosely sometimes. We can sometimes just take inspiration from things that have happened. At the moment, we've made two short films, and we've got two more short films in the works, which is very exciting, which I'll explain in a bit. So yeah, so that's kind of us. Anna's fantastic. She's very like me, very keen to get representation out there, particularly for women creators, because just there are not as many women creators out there, and let's give them a voice, let's empower them and see what magic we can make, kind of thing. And we've had a lot of fun. We've had some fantastic feedback from people that we've worked with over the last few years. So we're just kind of plowing on forward with it. And it's just, we're just having so much fun. We've got Witch Trial coming up, which I think I've spoken to you before about. It's our first fully funded short, which is really, really exciting. We've had to push it back for various reasons, but hoping to get that filmed this year. And that's all about the Scottish witch trials, and particularly the trial of Isabel Gowdy. So really excited to get our teeth stuck into that. We've got our cast, we've got a fantastic cast line up. We've got brilliant crew, and we've got some really, really cool locations. So it is just a matter of getting on set and getting it done. And so really looking forward to that. And hopefully that this is like down the line. But we'd like to do either a short film or a feature film on Alexander Pearce, who, again, another historical figure, called Pearce, and that's quite a gruesome one. He was a convict that was sent to, well, what was Van Diemen's Land, it's now Tasmania, and he escaped from prison a few times, and when he took people with him, he'd just, you know, kill them off and eat them, and then it kind of turned out that he, like, didn't even eat them to stay alive, he just liked it. It was wild. He's quite an interesting guy. So far, let's make something on him. So yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at with real horror at the moment.
Oh, that's good to know. It's nice to hear like updates about like what you and Anna have been doing. Because I know that you started out real horror quite a while ago.
Yeah.
And I helped her. And I gave you a little bit of, I donated some money to you to help get the witch trials kicked off.
Absolutely, yeah, which was really, really kind. So it was fantastic. We had a really, really lovely reception to the crowdfunder, people like yourselves being able to help kind of promote what we were trying to do and share. It just absolutely meant the world, and it's just really exciting that we've now got this brilliant project ahead of us. I can't wait to get stuck into, and hopefully very soon share the finished thing with you guys as well.
Looking forward to seeing them.
Thank you. Yeah, it should be good.
Yes. Are there any particular films made by women that you'd like to really talk about? I've got two.
Right, let me have a think. So there's one film I would like to kind of chat about, and it's not been made yet, so I can't like show you anything, but it's in the making. It's called Daggers In, and it's a fantastic independent film company called Raya Films. It's run by a guy called James Smith, but it's produced by a woman called Caroline Spence. And I've never seen such a fantastic force of nature. I mean, her ability to just, I mean, we've got quite a big cast. I've got a lovely little part in it, quite a cool little story, which I'm really, really excited for. And I've got my main block of filming coming up over the next few weeks. So, she's the most positive woman, and she has so many balls to juggle right now. And when I went on my first day of filming for them a couple of weeks back, and the stuff that Caroline and James produce is beautiful looking, and I'd seen some stills from a few of the days before, and I was just like, wow, this just looks beautiful. It looks incredible. Got on set thinking like they've got a massive crew behind them. No, it is Caroline and James doing everything. And it's just like you've got Caroline on sound while James is sorting the camera. And then between us, like the actors are doing the play before each take. And it's just like, it's such a wonderful atmosphere of like indie filmmaking at its best, because it's like the amazing quality that they're producing. And it's just those guys literally on the ground doing the work. They know all of the jobs inside out. And I just think, massive shout out to those guys, because I'm so excited to see it. It'll be a feature film. Filming hopefully should be done by before the end of April, and then obviously it's into post-production, and yeah, we'll see from there how long it'll be.
Fantastic. I mean, always happy to hear people that are that don't mind getting their hands dirty and getting in and doing all the everything behind the canvas. It sounds like those two enjoy being behind the canvas and also making sure that everything's working well.
Absolutely. there's always a way around any problem. Like they're such positive thinkers as well. It's just, yeah, it's a lovely atmosphere to be a part of. So yeah, feeling very lucky to have a role in that.
The two films I've got written down, funny enough, both of them were actually debuts.
Oh,
so I was quite surprised. First one, I was kind of like, okay, then I can sort of see this being someone's debut. I watched another film. I actually watched it this afternoon. And I looked it up afterwards and I was like, how is this person's first like feature? I was that shocked by how well it was made. I was like,
yeah.
It's like, wow, this is damn good.
Oh, amazing. So what was that?
So the one that absolutely stunned me was
Hesira,
The Bone Woman by Michelle Garza-Severa.
Oh, okay. I have heard of this.
If you haven't seen it, watch it. I absolutely recommend it.
Que se te parten los huesos.
God, it's quite a recent one, isn't it?
Yeah, it only came out about a year or two ago. It should be available on Amazon Prime and Tubi as well.
Okay, nice. Oh, well, I've got Prime, so I'll definitely be getting on that.
Yeah, so the storyline for it is essentially a woman and a husband are trying to get pregnant. She becomes pregnant and a dark entity is latched onto her. And you go through her journey of being pregnant, seeing this entity when other people don't, and dealing with everything that goes with it as well, like through her becoming pregnant to essentially having like a baby that's like a few months old. So you see her through that entire journey.
So are you kind of seeing that the world around her thinks she's going mad, or is it like... Is it not as kind of clear-cut as that, maybe?
Not quite. It is to do, like... Yeah. Her family, like, she has an aunt that understands... Like, they're quite traditional. They understand certain things, so it's kind of like... Because it's a Mexican film... And they do have like quite a lot of culture, and that the Bone Woman is actually part of it's an actual thing.
Right. Oh, okay.
But yeah, the way it's represented, it is quite like, oh God. Oh. There are times where it is quite subtle, but there's some moments where it's kind of like, oh, okay, then, and then something just looks really off. You're like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, I'll have to, like I say, I've definitely got Prime, so I've just had a quick look actually, and it's scored 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's definitely very loved.
Yeah, I believe it actually did the horror festival circuit for a bit, and it actually gained quite a good following of people, but I haven't really heard that many people talk about this film, and I'm like...
No, I must say, until you... about it, I think I'd heard of it, but yeah, I didn't know anything about it, sort of thing. Yeah, it certainly sounds really, really well done. So sorry, that was her debut, did you say?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, because I saw it and I was like, oh, let's have a look up the director.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean this is her first feature length film? I was gobsmacked when I saw that, because I was like, this doesn't come across as like a first. This doesn't come across as a debut. This comes across as someone that's got like a lot of backing behind them.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, there's certainly always some gems.
I mean, there are some bits in it that are, you think it's going to be more horrifying than it actually is going to be. I'll put that out there, but I think that's more because...
Okay.
That if you start to see something happen, you think it's suddenly going to get worse, or something suddenly just going to do, like, you know how in a lot of horror films from America, they will do something and then just make it absolutely gory for a split second, just for shock value.
Yes, yes.
They don't go that far, thankfully. Like, it just makes you feel really disturbed and really, like, uncomfortable with certain scenes.
Yeah, it just pushes those buttons far enough. That's really nice.
Yeah, because there were a couple of moments.
Clever way of doing it.
Because there were a couple of moments where you think that the child is going to be in danger or something absolutely, like, horrifying is going to happen to it. But thankfully, the baby's fine.
Okay, then.
So you don't worry about that. But I know that in some films that I've seen from, like, the state, they will go that far, and it just kind of like, but you don't need it. It's still terrifying, even though, you know, like, nothing happens to it.
Yeah, it's almost sort of more of that's kind of almost more of a mindfuck, if that makes sense, when it doesn't happen, because your mind has done all the work for you and pushed it that far for you, thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to happen. And then actually, like you say, it didn't need to go there, because you'd already, I don't know, kind of had those worst, oh my gosh, what if? I think that's really clever in itself, that it can kind of make you push to the worst case scenarios, and it doesn't have to.
It makes you think that there's going to be more of a threat than there actually is. I mean, there are a couple of moments where you do kind of go, oh, no.
Yeah.
But you don't, it doesn't push you over the edge, which I am kind of like, you know what? Even when you look at, like, if you look at a poster or if you go on Prime and see, like, the first image that comes up for it, you literally see that, and the first thing you think is, oh, this is going to be a messed up film.
Yeah. But
It's more the journey that goes into it, and you see where what she goes through and how she has to try and deal with it in a way, because not only has she got her family treating her like she's going to be a crap parent, you've got a husband that's not, that he's being a bit of a stereotype and not believing that she's seeing these things, and like, his mother is really, like, has a bit of a, she's just really just unpleasant, like, she's quite pushy, and it's seeing, like, how she goes from, like, being happy within her marriage and with being pregnant to how it goes along throughout that time, and you're like, oh god,
wow. Yeah, certainly sounds like a very, very clever film.
It really was. Like, I would quite happily watch that again. Even though the subject matter is quite dark in a way, because it is literally, because I thought it was going to be about, like, postpartum depression or something, or she was going to develop psychosis. And it was just nice to actually see a film where it's like, no, this is actually an entity that is causing issues for her.
Yes, yes. Yes, it didn't feel the need to go down that route. Yeah.
But yeah, I really do recommend that film. I mean, even just for the sound score, like, as soon as you hear, like, if you hear people, like, moving plates or anything like that, just the sound of people chewing in one scene, and you're like, oh, that's uncomfortable, but it's done so well.
Right, okay. Oh, wow. Definitely on the watch list.
I love this. I find random films, and I'm like, you know what, I'll give this a go.
Yeah.
And it turns out most of my guests haven't heard of them or seen them. Yeah. I'm like, go watch it, do yourself a favour.
That's the thing, you kind of, like, I do think when you do things like this, it's kind of like, you kind of gain that, wider perspective of, because I feel like the whole algorithm thing, it very, very much, when you're searching through, like, old films you might like, and it goes really specific down at, because you watched, and you kind of don't always get ever so slightly different kind of genres, even within that kind of horror. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm making sense. But yeah, so it's nice to chat about them and sort of widen the search a little bit.
Yeah, YouTube does that with the algorithm a lot. I mean, Prime, I think, tried to do that with me, but after some of the films I've watched, I think it just kind of started throwing things at the wall and see what would stick.
You've just confused it.
It's like how to get Prime to mess up its own algorithm, just get Faith to watch a few films on there and like, confuse it until it just like I don't know what to give her.
Nice. So what was your other film then, you said?
It was a film from by Samantha Aldana or Eldana Dana. I'm not sure how to say her last name. Tell me sorry. And the movie is called Shapeless, and this one's also quite a dark subject matter for a feature as well.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
We gotta talk.
I didn't know you could sing. Well, I can. Is anything wrong?
Are you okay?
Fine. She can't stay here.
We're here for you.
You ever think about singing in a place like this?
We're on your side.
This condition can be serious.
The storyline is essentially Ivy is a struggling singer in New Orleans and is mentally and emotionally trapped and held back by essentially an eating disorder.
Oh, God.
So she has to face her own insecurities and her disorder in order to, otherwise she starts to, it goes into the realm of body horror in this film.
Wow, okay.
And it's kind of essentially the way her eating disorder rears, it's makes its appearance is that she starts to almost grow like open wounds, extra fingers along her back. She like an elongated mouth as well, and like extra eyes.
Oh my gosh!
But I think she's the only one that can see it. So yeah. I think it's kind of like it's like a psychological representation of how she feels. That where oh, if I don't purge, I will start to change. I will turn into something horrifying.
Wow, okay. Gosh, a really heavy kind of subject matter, yeah.
But it's done well. You don't actually see her committing the act. It's more, it actually shows you the, like she goes to a doctor's appointment where the doctor's like asking her, do you have acid reflux? Because if you do it, this is literally what it's doing to your throat.
Right.
Because she's a singer, because it's damaging her vocal cords, like the stomach acid, essentially, like she's going to lose her voice and she might not get it back. And like she's kind of freaking out and getting really upset because she's like, I can't control this feeling that I have, but she doesn't want to admit out loud that she is doing this.
Mm. Wow. Was it quite a hard watch, even though obviously like enjoyable from the sense of like, obviously very well made, but subject matter wise and the way they presented it, was it quite a hard watch, I suppose?
Yeah, because it was difficult on an emotional level because you're like, I've known friends that have had, like, I think a couple of people with eating disorders.
Right.
So seeing someone represented in that way where it's kind of like, you see their kind of like, not really quick decline, but you see how not only what they're doing to themselves is affecting them, but it's affecting the people around them, like the people that actually care about them.
Yeah, of course.
And how it's causing problems for their everyday lives. And it's just kind of like her trying to uphold having a day job, her trying to be a singer and also deal with this essentially becoming a monster whenever she feels that hungry.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, sounds like two very different films in what they're kind of presenting and how, but yeah, both sound incredibly interesting watches.
That's what I love about this. Like, I think of like interesting subject matters, and then you actually sit down and watch them and you go into like the nitty gritty of it.
Yes.
Like, I really hate it when I'm like, what, if I'm asking someone like, what do you think of this film? And they're like, I don't like it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. Like, they don't describe what's wrong with it. And you're like, So what? How would you improve it? What would you make? Yeah. What would make you think it could be better? And they're like, oh, I just don't like it. And I'm like, oh, just go away.
Yeah. If it's going to impact you enough for you to be able to say you dislike something, you've got to have reasons. You've got to, yeah. Otherwise, it's just like a meh. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, funny enough, it just happened that both these films were debuts. That wasn't planned.
What a happy accident. So good. So sorry, I've forgotten. Who directed the second one?
Shapeless.
Yes, Shapeless. Who was that?
Yeah. That was Samantha
Aldana. Yes. Nice. Names to keep an eye out for, certainly.
But yeah, there were a few scenes in it that did kind of make me go like, oh really? I do that. Where she bites her skin on her fingers and she bites her nails and she picks the skin. I do that constantly.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, I know what that feels like. And it's just kind of like, well, you just dig that little bit too deep, or you just sit in there and you're doing it without realising.
Yes, I know that. Oh gosh, yeah, that's quite clever, because that's something that would really get under your skin, knowing what that feels like.
Oof. Is that when you see someone like when they get the finger caught in a drawer, or they drop something on the foot? You know instinctively how that feels.
Yes.
So seeing someone like peel the skin a bit too far back on the thumb, and you're like,
definitely. And so the other one is like seeing someone stub their toe and like just knowing, it's like, you are in the worst pain right now. That's always one that gets me.
Oh, what's one that I've done? Oh, when you accidentally walk into a door frame and you hit your shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, do you have any other films? I mean, Dag's Inn does sound interesting on the basis of how hands-on the creators are.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose I'm going to jump on... I feel like I'm jumping on the bandwagon by saying this one a little bit. But I genuinely... And do you know what? I am going to talk about everyone's favourite... Saltburn. I don't know if you've seen it.
Okay, I haven't, but I've heard so many recommendations from people, and I'm like, I need to sit down and watch it.
Wait. Where are we going, Felix?
You think you'll go home?
Honestly? Home doesn't mean the same for me as it does for you, Felix.
Well, why don't you come home with me? Come to Saltburn.
I see why Felix likes you so much. You're so, real.
Oliver? I have a complete and utter horror of ugliness.
It was directed by Emerald Fennell. And, I mean, I don't want to obviously spoil anything or anything like that. But I watched it and I kind of came away initially when I watched it going, okay, like there are scenes in there that make you really uncomfortable. And when you see them, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. Because again, I don't want to spoil it. But essentially, the long and short of this story is it's a guy goes to Oxford University and is a real outcast. So everyone that he's in university with are all very born into that kind of class and that very rich. Everything's paid for. And he's kind of like the middle class lad that is just very bright and is now suddenly in a world where he's kind of out of his depth in a kind of class sense, if that makes sense. And you basically follow his journey and how he gets in with one of the guys and becomes very close friends, and ends up going to spend the summer at their estate, which is called Saltburn, and just from there, madness ensues. And yeah, I remember watching it and kind of being like, okay, but I'm not sure, like, where all the hype, like, I enjoyed it, but I was like, okay, I'm feeling fine about it. And then the more I read about it after, and I've had this with a few films, actually, the more I've read about it after, and the more I've kind of gone to interviews and looked into some of the ideas behind, like, the design and how it's been set up, or some of the smaller ideas that you maybe didn't necessarily pick up on because they were really subtle, I've gone, oh my gosh, like, the subtleties in there that you may not notice first time round are, like, so well thought out. The character work from all of the main cast is just stunning. I mean, they've got an absolutely stunning cast anyway. But it is, I really, really enjoyed it, and I will be watching it again at some point. But yeah, I think initially, because there's quite a twist at the end, and I don't think it's supposed to be a shock horror twist. I certainly didn't find it that way. I thought, oh yeah, I could see this coming, kind of thing. So I think I came away going, oh, did it want me to be more surprised by that twist? And actually, I think almost, and hopefully if you ever watch it, you'll get what I mean here when I say the twist almost didn't matter, because there's so many other bits and pieces at play and so many other bits going on that you pick up on, like you say, after, like, reading up or watching little bits of it again, you go, oh my God. So I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really well done film. The cast were phenomenal. The really clever kind of set design in some of the bits and the little kind of Easter eggs that they put in, so, so well thought through. So yeah, that's probably my other, completely other end of the spectrum. Definitely not indie film, but but I loved it. I thought it was, and I've got a deeper appreciation for it since coming away from it.
I have been meaning to watch Sit Down and Get My Hands on Horror, because I'm very curious.
Oh, have you?
Because I absolutely love like anthology films. And just the thought of someone doing it as, like, a Zodiac one, it's kind of like, ooh, how creative are they going to get?
Yeah. Oh, well, do you know what? If you ever do get your hands on it and watch it, you'll have to just give us a review. Let us know what you think of our segments. But, yeah, it's been so much fun, because it's kind of been something to keep us ticking over and keep the creative juices flowing in between times. And it's just, the first time I saw the first Horoscopes, it was like, this is incredible. But yeah, like, I remember watching it at the premiere down at the Horror on the Sea Festival, and it was like, you've got this amazing privilege to watch 12 creators and all their different styles, all their different ideas in one sitting. Like, how incredible is that, that you see such a range of stuff in such a short amount of time, and then you can kind of go, right, I want to see more of their stuff, I want to, you know, get involved here. And it's just, I absolutely loved it, and I love watching anthology films for that reason, because you just see such a wealth of, and the second Horoscopes, I remember Mike saying, oh, I don't, you know, I was worried that, you know, you can't live up to the first one. But I mean, I absolutely agreed with him, and I think the rest of the audience that night, that it was on another level, and it was just so lovely, because you had a lot of the same creators as the first one, but you also had new creators that had been brought in for, you know, some segments. And it was just, it's so lovely to see so many different styles and so much content from so many people in such a short amount of time. And it's, yeah, that's something that I wasn't expecting to get out of it, that I've really enjoyed.
Yeah, I love hearing people's, like, creative side, where they're like, you know what, they love seeing all the nuts and bolts that go into filmmaking. It's just, it's nice to hear someone else that's interested in stuff like that, because I mean if CJ, who edits these episodes, thank God, because he's very good at these things, he knows that my love of, like, collecting DVDs, like, I am one of those people that really, if a DVD has special features on it, I'm more likely to buy it, because I'm that I am that person that's like, no, I want to see what goes on scenes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
But yeah, it's a big talent. You have to be really talented in order to make a storyline make sense and interesting and try and condense it into like a short space of time.
Yes. And that was another thing that you find really, really interesting is it's kind of like you watch the first segment and you think, I was really invested in those characters and I was really invested in that story. And now it's like over and I've got to now get invested in some other characters. And you kind of think, am I going to be able to care as much, I suppose? And you really do. Like you say, it's kind of like, are they going to be able to tell a really clear story that's engaging, that has characters that you care about and you know, even twists in within 10 minutes worth of viewing. And you really, really can. It was quite funny, actually, at the end of our segment of the most recent one of the Chinese Zodiacs, where we created the short dog. And obviously, I don't want to spoil it, but right at the end, there is a twist just right at the very, very end of ours. And I did hear someone in the premiere a couple of rows back from where I was sitting just go, oh, shit. And I was like, yay! Just like, oh, you can't get any greater praise than that, can you, when you've got a little horror.
Oh, I love that. That makes me really happy knowing that happened.
Yeah, that did make me smile. I was like, I don't care what happens for the rest of the night now.
I love that for you. I'm glad that happened.
Yeah, that's good. But yeah, so we're going to start planning Scarab. I've had quite a few chats with Tom, my boyfriend, about it when we first got picked for Scarab. And he's like, oh, you could do this, could do that, blah, blah, blah. So I'm actually filming with Mike and Anna on Saturday. So I'm sure there'll be discussions there of... yeah, some ideas flying around and ready for, because that'll go off hopefully to be shown in January. So, yeah.
Oh, I don't think I could top that. Yeah, I like hearing about everyone's like, different projects and stuff like that. Like sometimes MJ and Anna will let me know about like, stuff that's going on, if they need help like, behind the scenes or if... like Luna lets me know about different stuff as well, like Luna Wolf.
Luna has been another fantastic creator that's made shorts on the horoscopes as well, so yeah she's brilliant
and she's been on this as well, and she's just lovely to chat to.
yeah she's great, very talented woman.
It's lovely to hear people that actually enjoy their being creative and finding ways to do things in a low budget setting and still have it be fantastic to watch.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's always the I think when I first started working in independent horror, I was kind of like, when do I, you know, I suppose there was kind of an expectation of, well, when do I, you know, start working on the BBC or, you know, for big multi-million pound films. And it's just kind of like, the more I've worked in horror and the more I've worked in particularly independent horror where it is very low budget, the more I've just kind of gone, well, why would I ever want that? Like, this is where the fun is. This is where it's, you're with some fantastic creative people who, like you said earlier, don't mind getting their hands dirty and just getting in there and real team spirit. And I think you, as a result, you form these much tighter relationships. I think I've gained probably more of a wealth of knowledge because I've picked up more from doing odd bits and bods in front and behind the camera. And whereas on a higher production, you just wouldn't be allowed anywhere other than where your mark is, you know. So I absolutely love it, and I have absolutely no plans to move away from it anytime soon.
I feel that really when it comes to like independent stuff as well, you have more control over it. Whereas if it's something a bit more higher budget, you're more likely to get like people from other departments going, I don't think this would work.
Yeah.
Or they'll restrict you too much.
Can't do this. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, there's some films where you're watching, like, you can tell in certain scenes, like, when it comes to certain endings, you're watching, you're like, that just screams of, like, studio interference.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it becomes very manufactured almost, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, God's sake. If it's a downer ending, let it be an ending. Don't slap an extra scene onto it just to make people better.
Yeah, definitely.
Where can our lovely listeners find you?
If you want to find me as part of Real Horror, we are Real_Horror. And that is on Twitter and X and Instagram. We're also Real Horror on TikTok because we've moved into the 21st century and I, like an old lady, am trying to work my way around it. We also do have a Real Horror Facebook page. And if you're looking for me and my weird and wonderful acting world and bits of pole dancing that I do, that is all on Miss Eve Catherine. And again, that's on X and Instagram. Feel free to give me a follow. It would be lovely to connect.
Fantastic. And for this special episode, like, just share, like, subscribe, send the have a look at the charity page, / fundraiser, and just share it and donate if you are not able to. I hope everyone enjoyed the episode as much as me and my guest. You can like, share, subscribe. You can also leave us a comment, join our Patreon. You can always send us suggestions for episodes or franchises. If you're interested, our Patreon is £3 a month. You get extra episodes, seasonal ones and franchise ones as well. So I hope everyone enjoyed themselves and we'll see you in the next one.